Look out, content creators, better be original or your material might be deleted. Plus, we talk about if minors should be playing M-rated games. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of November 8th, 2008. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I've been talking a lot this weekend. Hello, everybody. Hey, I'm back in my own little room now. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. We will be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, we are going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, and our toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156. Or if you're listening to us in the podcast, my email is blackwolf@allgames.com. Now, going to start off just talking about that if you were paying attention to the feed, actually, I put it up probably about 20 minutes before I went on the air on Sunday nights. I actually put up the audio from our Saturday broadcast. It was a special episode of the Bobby Blackwell Show. It actually had the same bumpers and opening and closing. It's a little bit more explicit, and you can thank Mike Fahey from Kotaku for providing the explicitness. You just can't keep him clean, and that's all we're going to go into that. They had to clean the table after he was done with one thing. But anyway, it was a fun event. It was fun getting to see people from the local game industry. Basically, it was a charity event benefiting the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, put on by Hi-Rez Studios. They are the developers of Global Agenda, which I did get to play. I didn't get to play the PvP. It's an action MMO, and so I played a PvE mission with a whole bunch of bots. And I died many times, as I usually do in these third-person shooters that's using the Unreal Engine. It actually looks pretty good, and it was pretty fun. During the broadcast, I made fun of this big robot that stomped on people and stuff, and that happened to me, and you know, but it was really well made, and I did eventually beat the level, so I can beat the beginning training mission in this game. But it was pretty fun. It was a first public unveiling of it. We did do an interview with the producer that talked about the combat portion of the game. Didn't really want to go into the aspects of the other portions of the game. They were just showing off the combat, and they weren't really talking about anything else. We also had some interviews with some other people local to the state of Georgia. So if you are from the Southeast, even, this may be of interest to you. We had the guy who, Tobias, who runs the Entertainment Consumer Association, the Georgia chapter, which is actually going to be starting up in January. They're going to start having meetings at the Computer Arena, actually. And speaking of the Computer Arena, we did interview Britt, who owns the Computer Arena, where you can learn more about the LAN Gaming Center. It's huge. The pictures that are on their website do not do it justice, and I just wanted to point that out. And then also CC Gaming, which is a vintage gaming store in the back, where they make Xboxes out of RC cars and stuff. You probably will find posts of that on Kotaku, probably, if you look for Mike Fahey's post. I'm sure he will post about those RC cars in that store back there. So, you know, if you did come out, I didn't run into anybody that listened to the show, which I'm not exactly surprised about, because I don't know how many local listeners I have. But, you know, hey, it was for a good cause. And if you did show up and just didn't get to see me or anything, I was kind of in a weird location. Thanks for coming out. How about that? So let's go ahead. Actually, one thing I do want to point out also, completely unrelated to this, but just in case you were thinking of doing this. Now, here in the United States, there's a store chain called Circuit City. It's actually been around for quite a while. Well, they've come upon hard times, that hard times being Best Buy, and they closed a whole lot of stores, and actually they closed all the stores in the Atlanta area. Now, one thing you need to realize is one of the reasons that Circuit City is closing down is because their prices were higher than everybody else's. So I went in on the first day of their closeout sale, where everything was 10 to 30% off, depending on what it was. Games were 10%, DVDs and movies were 20%. And you got to realize, the prices are high to begin with. So a 10% discount on something might bring it close to what maybe Best Buy is selling it at. just want to keep that in mind, because I actually went there and thought, I was like, hey, they've got, you know, a 120 gigabyte hard drive here for the Xbox 360. I'm going to pick this up. You know, because I figured it was a good deal, me being naive. But luckily, I did not walk out of the store with anything, because I noticed, okay, it's $179.99 is how much they're selling the hard drive for. And, you know, 10% off, so that knocks $18 off or something like that. So it was $162. Well, I think it was like Amazon.com. I looked it up from the store there, and Amazon.com selling the exact same thing for $139.99. It's going right back on the shelf. Even looked at like DVDs, like TV box sets, and it was like $10 more than Amazon sells it. You know, games were 10% higher than list price, so 10% down knocked it down to list price. So just be careful if you decide to go to the go to a Circuit City to pick up things, because right now, I think Best Buy still has things cheaper than Circuit City would. So keep that in mind as these store closeouts happen. The percentage will go up or down or whatever. You know, things will be marked off more and more and more as weeks go on, because everything must go. It's a clearance. So you're going to have to wait to get some good deals. Right now, no good deals. Don't even bother wasting your time. I wasted time there, and it's an hour that I wish I could have back. Much like many things I've had about Circuit City. So let's talk about some news. And also, in this part of the news, I'm going to go back and talk about one of the features of a game that I know people probably don't want to hear me talk about. But this is about the content creation portion of these new games. We're going to start off talking about Little Big Planet, but then I'm going to extend it over to Guitar Hero World Tour, because it just came out this weekend that Media Molecule for Little Big Planet, they're the developers of Little Big Planet, have been moderating levels in Little Big Planet. When we say moderated, we actually mean deleted. And when we mean deleted, we mean even if you change your level, you cannot republish it. So and some people even said that they're actually deleting levels off of the hard drive. Like, you can't even edit your level in Little Big Planet. It's just gone. And there are some ways to you know, back it up, I think, that some people have said. But basically, what it boils down to is that they are removing levels based on copyrighted material. Like, you know, World 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers. They're removing it off of there, you know, and they're removing levels that infringe on someone else's intellectual property. Now, you know, one thing that I do want to point out on the beginning here is that some people think that, oh, it's been 20 years. Copyright law says that, you know, I should be able to remake Super Mario Brothers. It's over 20 years old. Now, it's actually, you can thank Walt Disney for this. Basically, I think the current copyright law is 70 years after the person's dead or something, I think of what it is. And it basically what happens is whenever Mickey Mouse's copyright is about to be up, Disney goes in and pays off lawmakers in Congress to extend the deadline so Mickey Mouse never enters the public domain. So I think we're at 70 years right now. It's going to extend even further if Disney has their way. So Mickey Mouse won't go out into public domain. So no video game created right now is public domain unless explicitly put out by the game developer saying, yes, this is public domain, you know, rip us off. But no, like Mario isn't, Zelda isn't, God of War isn't, Gears of War isn't, whatever of war is not, you know. So what's going on is that the popular levels, there are two types of levels that are very popular in Little Big Planet. One type of level is your trophy whoring, which I participated in. There are levels that will get you 6 or 7 trophies in that level. Like, you have to get like 1 million points, or, you know, a times 100 multiplier and all that stuff. Those levels are extremely popular. They're on the front page. And then also it's remakes of games. Some of these are actually really good. Like, there's a Japanese person that actually remade, he's famous, I guess, on the blogs for remaking Gradius. But he also remade Beatmania, which I know there's a couple of Bimani kids that listen. He actually remade Beatmania, and it's awkward to play, and obviously all the instructions are in Japanese, so I can't read it. But I kind of figured out that you have to stand on the colored switch when the bar hits the bottom. You don't actually jump on the switch. You just have to stand there. So it's not as exact as a rhythm game, but it was still it was very interesting. The way that he pulled that off. And then also he did a Tetris version as well, which didn't work too well, but that was using the jetpack to move the box after the blocks after they've fallen and then stuff. So, but those are still there because I actually hopped on Little Big Planet a few minutes ago, and it was still there. All of the music levels. There's a whole bunch, a genre of levels of music patterned like the guy who made the Sweet Child of Mine. I think it was Nick Fuzza is his username. He made Sweet Child of Mine in the beta, and it got posted on YouTube, and now there's a whole bunch of music, all copyrighted, all video game music, pretty much. There's Sweet Child of Mine, but then there's, like, Tzanarkin from Final Fantasy X. I saw Terra's Theme from Final Fantasy VI up there. Mortal Kombat theme is up there. You know, all these video game tunes are being remade in Little Big Planet, where basically you have to stand on a switch, and then as you go through the level. It's kind of neat, but now it's getting kind of old. But they're still up. They were still up 30 minutes ago. So, or an hour ago, I think, now from when I checked. So I'm not exactly sure if they really are monitoring levels, but there are several places on the internet that think that this is horrible and that this is stifling creative freedom. And I'm going to take the bad guy side on this one. So, sorry. Creative freedom, to me, is not ripping off someone else's work. So, while I think that, yeah, Media Molecule is being a little bit heavy-handed and actually deleting the level off of your hard drive so you don't have it anymore, which they can do, apparently, they have a right to protect intellectual property of these of other games and stuff. And, you know, be creative. Recreating World 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers, to me, is not creative. Sure, it's technically impressive that you're actually able to use Little Big Planet technology to replicate what they did in 1985 on the NES, but it's not creative. You're not creating your own work. Same with, you know, while it is, yes, it's impressive that you were able to recreate the first level of Gradius, it's not exactly creative. It's impressive. So I can understand that, you know, they want to see original works. And you look on there, it's very difficult to find anything that's rated high that's an original work. I mean, I even was playing, like, a level based on the first season of Lost, the TV show. I was playing that, and I actually couldn't finish it. I couldn't figure out how to jump up after... Anyway, it was a work in progress, too. I think only, like, four people had played it by the time I saw it. There's a whole bunch of levels based on Ninja Warrior, which is, or called Sasuke in Japan, but it's the G4, it's on G4 here, but it's actually from, I think, HBK or something out in Tokyo. A whole bunch of levels based on that. And they're eligible to be taken down. That was in that TOS that we read several weeks ago. I'm going to look in chat.longhams.com, to see what people are saying about this initially. Sub-Z says Black Wolf is always for the bad guys. Pen15 says, I'm more creative than everyone. No comment. Dark Tetsuya, I think Dark Tetsuya is trying to find the Beatmania level. It's the same guy who made the Gradius level, okay? If you can find the Gradius level, which is on the front page and all that stuff, just look for more levels, like, from him. And he's got, like, four levels. One of them I don't really know what it's supposed to be of. It might be an original level. But then he's got a Tetris level, and then he's got Beatmania. And it's the same guy that made the Gradius level that everybody's going all over. Sky says, I played a level called Escape from Alcatraz today. That seemed pretty original and was fun. I think it was on page 2 as well. Yeah, actually, what I do is I don't even look up page 1 of the cool levels anymore because it's all the trophy whoring levels. And because those are the most popular, obviously. I mean, I like them. I use them. But now that I've gotten my trophies, I have no point in playing those anymore. But I usually go to page 2 and page 3 and page 4. That's when really the interesting stuff comes on. Game Guru says, YouTube got popular because of copyright infringement. People would rather remake level 1-1 than do anything original. And people would rather play World 1-1. That's the other part of the equation. I mean, the thing is, the original levels, like the quest for the LBP beta code, gets maybe 50 or 60 people playing it. But World 1-1 of Super Mario Brothers will get 60,000 people playing it. And 1,000 people are harding it. So, you know, it's that's also what people are interested in seeing. They want to play something that they kind of recognize. And that's part of the problem. Now, maybe Media Molecule's trying to say, hey, there's original stuff that's good too. You should go play it. And the only way to do that is actually removing copyrighted the unoriginal content off of the servers. Now, like I said, deleting it from the hard drive a little bit too much, but I do believe that, you know, if you're infringing on someone else's intellectual property, you don't really have that much room to complain. Now, some people have stated that this is equivalent to fan art. And, you know, I can see that there are some people who don't, some IP holders that don't like fan art or fan stories or anything like that. And you know, technically, I think from the law will actually, if you look it up and you actually interpret it as the letter of the law, fan art is also illegal. You know, it is also copyright infringement, and you could be sent a cease and desist order. But a lot of people don't, because they like having that community. But if it gets too much, then they will go after the person. Like, I remember, this is old school, but I remember EverQuest from a while ago, back when I played EverQuest. This is before World of Warcraft. This was the 800-pound gorilla before World of Warcraft, just so you guys can understand it. There were a lot of, you know, fan art and fan stories and stuff about EverQuest, and, you know, they really didn't care, you know, they didn't say anything. There was finally one story that got posted that was a bunch of dark elves doing pedophilia and killing children and all that stuff. And then Sony got the lawyers against that person because that was just way too much. Because it was set in the EverQuest world. It was using the EverQuest names for the cities. I mean, they were in Nariak, which is the Dark Elf city in EverQuest 1. And it was, you know, they used actual names. They even named some of the NPC characters as well. And it just went too far. And they got the lawyers. And they could do that because it was their intellectual property. But they usually turn a blind eye. And some people are saying that Little Big Planet is kind of the same as that, but I don't think that fan art communities have as big of a reach as Little Big Planet does. Pen15 asks, can you recreate rhythm action games like Guitar Hero and actually use the guitar? No. In fact, you can't even play Tetris correctly. I mean, it is a side scroller. They created Little Big Planet to be a side scroller. Period. And you can manipulate that to do other things, but at its heart, it is still a side scroller, and you still have to use the Little Big Planet physics mechanics of, you know, R1 is grab, and, you know, you have to jump around and stuff. Basically, grabbing, I think, is the only thing you can really do right now, and that's what a lot of these things do, is you have to grab something, and that's how they recreate the gameplay. Let's see. Sully907 says, the Beatmania level is by that RRR30,000 guy, and it's on the first three or four levels pages of the cool levels section. So basically, if you can find one of his levels, just look for the rest of him, and you'll find the Beatmania level. Dark Tetsuya says, what about the escape from Metroid? It's not exact, but I've tried to recreate it. If you're using Metroid assets, like if you're using a picture of a Metroid or stuff like that, then yeah, they could take it down. You know, one person said that his level was taken down because the title of his level happened to also be the name of a movie. And his level had nothing to do with the movie, but it still got moderated. And that is a stretch. I don't agree with that because, frankly, there's a whole bunch of movies out there, and, you know, any combination of words you can think of has probably already been made into a movie. So I don't agree with that. But, I mean, yeah, technically, if you use any kind of asset, be it art or you try to recreate something that is a part of a game, you could be taken down. You could be taken down from Little Big Planet. Dark Tetsuya says Little Big Planet has Kratos and Solid Snake skins, though. Wouldn't people want to make accompanying levels for that? And that's the funny thing. A level about the PlayStation 3 also got taken down because it used the PlayStation 3. So I think what they may want to do is that they may release downloadable content levels from Media Molecule that are based on Metal Gear Solid and God of War. And they don't want, you know, they don't want users competing with those because they may be able to charge for those. Hey, revenue stream. Pen15 asks, can you transfer files offline? I believe somebody said that there was a way that you could actually back up your levels or something like that, but I didn't look into it. I'm sure you can probably just put your save file on a memory stick. Sully907 says, I don't think Sony will delete God of War levels since they own it in Little Big Planet. And like I said, they deleted a level that was about the PlayStation 3 because it used a picture of the PlayStation 3 in it. And I mean, I want to say that there are a lot of levels that haven't been deleted as of like an hour ago when I was looking, and I think Sully might be looking right now, right at this moment. But I'm just saying they run the risk because they've already deleted a whole bunch. Another game that has content, you know, user-created content that has deleted a lot of things is Guitar Hero World Tour, the GHTune service, which Activision CEO Bobby Kotick says, hey, maybe we can monetize that. Yeah, because, you know, heaven forbid people, like, share songs for free on there. Because there are 20,000 people that are using or 20,000 songs on GHTunes. Bobby Kotick is like, we can make a revenue stream, make that a subscription service. Yeah, and then you're just going to see those 20,000 people go down to 20. Because I'm going to go into the what I think of the music creator, but the spoiler alert version is I don't like it either. So, but basically, they finally removed a lot of the Zelda and the Mario songs because those are copyright infringement. I mean, because to me, the theme from Super Mario Brothers is just as copywritten as the latest song you've heard on the radio. And I was actually wondering why they haven't removed any of, because the top songs were Zelda, Mario, Final Fantasy, this, you know. And they were probably removing the rock songs, but they were leaving the video game songs up. And I'm like, you know, Koji Kondo's still alive. And Nintendo still owns the copyright on the song. And so, but they did finally take them down, and then a whole bunch of songs came up and took their place. And I think it's still a lot of still a lot of video game tunes up there. However, they are not removing them from your hard drive, so you can still have them locally. And if you downloaded any of the songs, you will be able to keep the songs. You will be able to still play the songs. So I can still play the Chocobo theme and all that stuff that I had on mine. But it was a lot of video game tunes, and they finally removed those. But I mean, those are also the popular ones because people want to play those songs. But I mean, unfortunately, they are copywritten. They are just as copywritten as anything you hear on the radio. They're just not as strict with it. But you know, that's another story for another time. Now, I do kind of want to go into the music creator because I have tried to play with it because I actually have written music before. I actually wrote the theme to this show. That's actually my music. I borrow from other games. There's actually five games that are in the intro and the outro. It's actually one song, but I just break it up in the middle and talk for an hour in between the two parts of the song. So I went in saying, you know, I've written music before. I know basic music theory. Let's see what I can do with it. And here's the thing. You don't actually write music with the music creator. You create Guitar Hero note charts. And you are limited to what you can create with a Guitar Hero note chart. And the editing interface is not as robust as they claim. It's probably great for people who don't know how to write music. But for those of us who do know how to write music, it is very frustrating and infuriating trying to use the Guitar Hero World Tour music creator. Because the way to input notes is you actually have to set the scale, and then you have to you set what each button on the guitar, on the fret, is. You set what note that is. And then you have to play that. Now, to change the octave, if you tilt the guitar up, it's an octave higher. If you tilt it down, it's an octave lower. Where this runs into a problem is when, let's say, you know, the base of your scale is E, and then, you know, you want to go D, E, D, E, you know, but you want to go up one whole step instead of down all the way down to the low E. You actually have to try to have the guitar straight for the D, and then you have to tilt it up to hit the E with the first note, and then you have to keep doing that. There is no easy way to just say, these are the notes that I want to play. You actually have to be able to play them yourself. And they have ways of, you can like slow it down or just do step time, but you still have to play the note correctly in order. You know, you can't just go in and set the note. It's not like you can go in and like right-click on it and say, okay, this is going to be an E on octave 5. This one's going to be a D on octave 4. You know, you can't do that. You have to go through and create the note chart. So to me, it's very limiting. Also, every song in there sounds like MIDI because it is. Everything is general MIDI in there, pretty much. They do have some, you know, loops and stuff that you can put in, but you know, for people that want to write their own stuff, it's a very strange interface. And I mean, I'm sure that people can get used to it, but it is not as robust as Activision made it sound. And a lot of people I talk to who haven't played Guitar Hero World Tour yet think that this is the greatest thing ever, and they're like, yeah, when we get guitar, I mean, even if you listen to the show, the Poning for a Cure show, when Britt was on. He's like, yeah, I'm hoping when Guitar Hero comes out, he didn't realize it had come out already. When Guitar Hero comes out, that's going to kill Rock Band. And I looked at him like, no, it's not, because Rock Band is the better multiplayer game. And he's like, oh, but you could download all those tunes. I'm like, all those tunes suck. Because they do. I mean, even the tune I tried to write, it sucks. I had such high hopes for the music creator because they had talked all about, you know, how robust it is and all that stuff, but they never really showed, and I even complained about this at E3, they never showed how the music creator worked. You know, they would get just to the point where they were about to write music and back out. They never went all the way in. They're like, this is the screen, okay, now we're going to show you something else. And now I see why, because it's very disappointing. It's very difficult to actually write music in that thing. Pen15 asks, if you called a Mario song Blood and Brains, would they find out about the track, or do they listen to all the songs? I'm sure that it happens on a... you can report a song. So somebody could report it if they were feeling mean or thinking they were doing the right thing. And then they would listen to it. But they don't monitor all the songs. They only monitor probably the popular ones. Like if it gets voted up really high, then they'll hear it. Or from submissions from users. Tiger Claw says, in other words, the music creator isn't noob-friendly. You have to be one who is deep into making your own music to understand all of it. And actually, no. See, that's I am saying the exact opposite. If you are deep into making music, you are going to hate the Guitar Hero music creator because it is not doesn't have all that stuff. It is the ability to create a note chart. That's what you're doing. You're actually creating Guitar Hero note charts. That's the creator. And you're pretty limited into what you can create. They have a lot of sounds in there, and you can make it sound like anything, but actually inputting the notes and stuff, I would think that somebody who didn't know anything about music would probably have an easier time than somebody like me who's actually used programs like Finale and things like that to actually create music. Game Guru corrects me and says, copyright law is 95 years after the death of the person, or 120 years for a corporation, because if it was 70 years, Steamboat Willie would already be public domain as it was made in 1928. Thank you, Disney! See, you just have to follow Mickey Mouse, and that's how long copyright lasts. So now I'm going to play a voicemail from somebody. I actually got this voicemail this week, and this was actually an interesting topic, and I'm going to want to take calls on this topic too, because it would be interesting to hear what people say, because anyway, I'm going to play the voicemail first, and then we'll talk about it.
Hi, Bobby Blackwolf. I'm just wondering, this is some kid who listens to your podcast, and I'm just wondering, what's your stance on children playing M-rated games? Yeah. So, could you put this on your next podcast or something? I know it's a bad question, but yeah, bye.
It's not a bad question, some kid who listens to my podcast. So the question, basically, you know, obviously this is someone who is under 17 years old that asked the question, and he wants to, because obviously, you know, Gears of War came out. Gears of War 2, that's M-rated. Fallout 3 is M-rated. You know, all the games, a lot of the big games that people are playing right now are M-rated games. And see, here's the thing, because I look back at my own experience. Before we had ratings, we didn't, Joe Lieberman didn't come to our defense until I was already in high school. So, the defense of the children. Nobody thought of the children until Mortal Kombat came out and Night Trap and things like that. I played Doom when I was like 10 or 11 years old, because that's when it came out. You know, I played Leisure Suit Larry when I was a kid. You know, my dad let me play Leisure Suit Larry. But see, that was the thing. My parents let me play them. They knew that I could handle it. And that's why I think it is should be up to the parents. This is why I don't want the government coming in and saying, no, you cannot play this game, you know, and all that stuff. I think it is up to the parent to know their own child. So if you're a good student and you understand, you know, the difference between, you know, what's real and what's not, and your parent thinks the same way about you, they have the right, if they want to say, yes, you're allowed to play that game because you are smart and you understand that it's not real and you're not going to go be violent at school because of this, then I'm fine with someone under 17 playing the game. Now, if you're a little hellion and you're a jerk at school and you vandalize things because you think it's funny and you throw eggs at cars and things like that, and your parents are like, no, I don't think you need to be playing this blood and guts game, and you're only 14 years old, sorry. You know, your parents are doing it for a reason, and you may disagree with the reason, I know I disagreed with my parents when I was 13 and 14 and 15 and 31. And I know that I disagreed with them. So it just happens. And eventually, when you have kids of your own, you're going to hear this a lot. When you have kids of your own, you're going to understand exactly why. And you're going to be doing the same. So, you may think it sucks if they say no. But that's life. And you will get to play those games eventually. Just in a couple more years. If your parents think you're okay with it, they're good parents, you know, and if they let you play them, then that's totally their call. That is not the government's call. It's not my call. I'm not even supposed to. I shouldn't be the one that tells you you can't play the game. But I do applaud, game stores that do check IDs and say, a parent or legal guardian has to be here to purchase this for you, because then that shows that yes, the parent thinks that you should be able to play this game. Even if they really don't, and they don't understand why the clerk is being mean and dragging them into the game store when they just want to sit out in the car while the kid came in with $60 in cash. But I think it should be a parent's decisions, not mine, and not the government's. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to come back and take your phone calls about this subject and others. It's going to be user-generated content of you calling in. So we will be back here on the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
This is The Raven, and you're listening to the only show that doesn't need fake callers to be funny. Yeah, you heard me. The Bobby Blackwell Show. Bobby!
That's an old bumper. That's like from like 2005. Because I have real callers, real user-generated content. And just don't play anything copywritten, or I'm going to have to remove you from the podcast. So we're going to be opening up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about it. Ooh, we already got somebody coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. We're going to take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. This is Tej116 calling in.
Hey, Tej. So what's on your mind?
All right, a couple different things. First of all, we've got this convention coming up in Philadelphia, Video Game Expo, something like that. Mm-hmm. Is there anything? Just no. It seems like nobody's covered it. You've had commercials around, like
okay, let's see. Are you sitting down? It's called America's Video Game Expo. I was involved with it 2 years ago, and as far as I know, there's really nothing worth covering. There were very few people there when I was there. I do know Ed Fleming, and I've worked with Ed Fleming, who is the organizer of it in the past. I know that they're partnered with NBC right now, I believe. But it is... He's got a... VG Expo has a lot going against it, partially because they pissed off the Penny Arcade Expo a couple years ago, and there was a very big backlash on that. But... Yeah, it's coming, what is it, like November 23rd, I think is the date? I've gotten the emails to save the date, but I'm not coming up for it.
Yeah.
I liked it. It basically was born out of a smaller convention called the Philly Classic Gaming Expo, which was kind of like a vintage gaming swap meet, thing, something like that, and that was great. I loved that. I actually went up to Philly for that, and then, they kind of took that, and then Philly Classic broke away. There's a whole bunch of political stuff going on, but... VG Expo never really lived up to expectations, and I'm not thinking it's going to live up to any expectations this year. What about you? What do you know about it? What have you heard locally?
I'm just like, all it says is like this big commercial, like, hey, what are you doing sitting on the couch playing video games? Put down that controller and get up off the couch to play more video games. It really doesn't go a whole lot in depth. That's kind of why I was calling.
Want to know why it hasn't gone in depth is because they still probably don't know exactly what's going to be going on up there. Because that's the way it was when I did it, because I actually did in 2006. It was in Valley Forge. It wasn't at the Philadelphia. This was before they moved into town. But I actually did a Jeopardy-style game show, which some people on All Games Radio would recognize as being a part, like, same thing that Chatterbox used to do up at PAX. I basically took kind of some of the same files and did it at VG Expo. And I didn't know until I got there what time I was going to be doing the show. Like, they didn't even finalize the schedule until, like, the Friday of. You know, so it's in, and I obviously I didn't go last year, and apparently it was a little bit better last year. And I mean, they're hoping, I think, with the NBC partnership to get more people, but I have no clue what's going to be there. You know, last year the big news was that they actually got Jack Thompson and the guy that's the head of Oddworld, and I'm blanking on his name right now, but they debated with N. Guy Kroll from Newsweek moderating, and that was like the only thing that happened the entire weekend.
Yeah, I'm living in the Philadelphia suburban region, so there's really not a whole lot I can do.
Yeah.
Besides try and get like plane tickets out to E3,
right. Of course. There was another gaming convention, or like a smaller, it's more like the vintage gaming swap meet thing, but it was, I can't remember what the name of it, but I think it was like a good deal game, or good amount of games, or something like that. It used to be the East Coast Gaming Expo was the old name, and then they changed it. And that happened, I think, in Reading, Pennsylvania, a couple weeks
ago.
Reading, okay.
It's all right.
I'm not from there. Hey, people mispronounce names of cities down here all the time, so I'm used to
it. You'd mispronounce my last name. I can almost guarantee it.
So, but it was up there, and it was like a couple weeks ago. So there is some stuff. You just kind of have to keep your eyes peeled, and it's smaller stuff, smaller events, but some of them are around. But, yeah, good luck. If you want to go to VG Expo, good luck, and call me and tell me how it is, because it's been 2 years since I've been up there.
All right, thank you. And second of all, I think this is probably going to be my last one. I want to save some time for some other people.
Okay.
Being nice tonight. The whole M-rated game situation, like, mm-hmm. I'm not a huge person, like, I'm all for advocating, like, children playing M-rated games if they can handle it. If their parents are, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. But, like, there are situations, like, where the parents don't quite understand because they don't spend a whole lot of time with their children. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not one of those people personally, but, like, there are a lot of kids whose parents don't spend a whole lot of time, and they don't always know the difference between, you know, oh, maybe this looks all right, I'll get it for them, when it's like Gears of War 2 for a 10-year-old. And
yeah.
On the other hand, you've got parents like kind of like mine who are kind of nervous about letting their 16-year-old play Halo 3.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of it just depends on, you know, can you handle yourself
mm-hmm.
playing the game? Can you stay in line? Like, I've, like, probably 8-9-year-olds playing Halo 3 with, like, online in matchmaking who are cursing me out and
mm-hmm.
cursing their butts off. Like,
mm-hmm.
just, and then their older brothers come on to their mic and say, yo, stop trashing my little brother for talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a tough guy, handle it. Like, that's a great example you're setting there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that every family is perfect, but I mean, I guess, you know, in my perfect world, you know, the parents would actually be able to tell if their kids could handle it and then, you know, let them play it. You know, if the parents think that the child should be able to play it, I don't think it's a problem for the child to be playing it. Granted, online, that sucks when you have a whole bunch of foul-mouthed 12-year-olds, you know, cursing you out and stuff, you know, it's, to me, it's got to be the parents' decision. Even if the parents are making the wrong decision, I think it should be the parents' decision and not mine, not the government's, not anybody else's.
All right, well, thank you for taking my call. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank
Go
you
Eagles.
Yeah, thank you for calling in, and tell me how VG Expo is.
All right, thank you. I'll be sure to call in.
Okay.
Take care.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Pen15 asks, why didn't you rally on him for going off topic? Because he was not Pen15. He was an actual first-time caller. See, actual first-time callers get a little bit more leeway than the guy who calls in every single week. What up, G says, didn't the person behind VG Expo get kicked out of PAX for being drunk and hitting on women? He actually hit on an enforcer, which is who also happened to be a woman. But he hit on an enforcer and got kicked out the next day. So we got another call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
How you doing, Bobby? It's Maximilian.
Maximilian, what is on your mind?
Well, I just want to touch on the Little Big Planet situation.
Okay.
Well, yes, I agree with like almost everything. Well, actually, everything that you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Media Molecule takes it a little step too far by deleting it off your hard drive.
Absolutely.
Because even though it may not look like it, actually making a decent level takes a lot of time,
a lot
of effort, and
yeah, I mean that. If people look on the YouTube for my level, the quest for the LBP beta code, that probably took me 8 to 10 hours.
Yeah, it's
it wasn't that complex.
Exactly. Like, I mean, it goes from, like, you know, creating it and then going back and, you know, editing this or making this better or taking this away because it's too confusing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and also you got to, you know, take the time to actually think about what you're doing, because the best levels, you kind of have to think ahead of time exactly what you're going to do from one thing to the other. You know, if you only spend an hour on a level, it's going to suck.
Right.
You know, you've got to spend a lot of time on it. And even if it was something just as basic as mine, you know, I think the most complicated thing I had on mine was when you're in the vehicle, like, having the code, like, appear and disappear in all those ways. That was, like, the most complicated part of mine, and that took a couple hours, but even just everything else, you know, trying to figure out, okay, is this jump far enough, or is it too close, you know, to make it challenging?
Yeah, right.
Because, I mean, some people, they spend a lot of time on these levels, but they put Gears of War imagery in them, and, you know, then it's going to get deleted. And yeah. That really does suck. So maybe people should make copies of their levels before publishing them or something.
Which is what I ended up doing, because I have to, you know, question, are they going to take down anything that's copyrighted? Because I kind of used the evil monkey from Family Guy, and, you know, technically that is, you know, using copyrighted material, even though it's the generic monkey.
Yeah. Well, and actually, also, I got to kind of worry because this, and actually, I got an email about this. Somebody was asking, well, can you promote yourself on Little Big Planet? It was a nice long, it was a long email, which is why I haven't read it. But it was a nicely worded email. But he was asking, you know, the gist of it was, you know, okay, they can use your stuff to promote them. Well, can you use their stuff to promote you? Which is kind of what I did with my levels, because I have the Bobby Blackwell Show all over the level that I made, and I have, like, you know, the website and the time to come listen.
Right.
I don't think anybody's actually come and heard it because of that. But I have to wonder, because that image is copyrighted. It's copyrighted by me, the little Wolfie logo. Are they going to remove it on the grounds that I have it copywritten? You know, because it's copyrighted material. But
right.
I own the copyright.
Ask you first. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I own the copyright. And, you know, it's I give people, it's Creative Commons, so, I mean, people can use it. So, you know, so, I mean, I kind of also have to worry about that, because I use my own material in it, and that might be bad.
Yeah, it's just all, it's all kind of crazy stuff. And one last thing before I go about the M-rated game stuff. I agree with, like, last caller on you. It's all up to the parents. I mean, you know, you wish every parent was, you know, perfect and, you know, it was up on everything in the world, but alas, they're not. Because, like, with my mom, she didn't let me play, believe it or not, Embryo games until I was 16. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, upset about it, but, you know, she just wasn't ready for me to play them yet.
But then you turned 16, and right. So now it's not as big of a deal anymore.
Right. I played them, and I'm like, I'm not ready to go, you know, kill anybody or just go hijack a car.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, it's up to the parent, you know. I mean, I was lucky to have parents that thought that I could handle, you know, Doom when it came out, and this was before the ratings system, and, you know, they knew what was in Doom. In fact, I played it in my dad's office against one of his coworkers in Doom and shot him in deathmatch a lot of times, because we had LAN together and stuff. And my dad let me play the Leisure Suit Larry games, which was all about, you know, it was an innuendo. It wasn't about sex, it was about innuendo. But he let me play those when I was in middle and high school and stuff, and, you know, it just, they believed that I was good enough, was able to handle it, and wasn't going to do anything wrong by being able to do that. And so, you know, I thank my parents for that, but, you know, it's got to be the parents' call.
Because
if the government had their way, I wouldn't have been able to play any of those games.
They probably wouldn't have been able to, you probably wouldn't even have Gears of War 2 right now. It was up to the government.
Yep.
I mean, those are M-rated games.
Yeah, that would suck. So thanks so much for your call. So I'm going to go ahead and take one more call here. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. See if anybody else wants to call in before we head out. We're going to take one more call, one more short call, and we will be heading on over, because OLR is back tonight. They took a week off last week. We'll ask them how that week went. There it is. So we finally got our one last call here, so I'm going to take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Last time caller, Pen 15.
Last time caller, yes, no more Pen 15.
That might be a lie.
Yeah, I figured. What do we have the honor of for you tonight?
Speaking about kids, babies playing M-rated games.
He's going to be on topic, yes!
Originally, I thought you were going to bring this topic up because of the whole Call of Duty thing. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. I mean, it was the kid who, I guess, left. We don't know why he left home.
They took away his Xbox and Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons there. I mean, was that actually proven? Like, did he leave a note saying that's why he left?
Well, specifically, his dad said he was addicted to playing the game, and then he took it away from him, and then he said that he was going to run away after he did that. And then that's when that whole debacle happened.
Yeah, well, and then I think they figured out that he fell from a tree. And the autopsy proved that. I think his name, Brandon Crisp, is his name. They found him. He must have been up in a tree and lost his balance and fell, and that's how he died.
And it was weird how a game was at the center of this, but it wasn't the cause and effect.
Right, yeah. I mean,
it wasn't like the kid went on a killing spree or he decided to commit suicide because of Call of Duty. He got mad at his parents, ran away from home, and unfortunately something tragic happened. I mean, how many kids have run away from home? I bet tons. And this just happened to end tragically, and it just happened to be, you know, involved with the game.
Yeah, and I mean, that'll happen if you take anything that the kid likes away. I mean, they could have taken away TV. He could have been addicted to watching cartoons, and suddenly they weren't going to let him watch TV, so he's like, I'm going to run away from home. And, you know, a lot of kids had that. I felt like that once or twice, running away from home. And it's a sad story, but I don't think that has anything to do with the fact it was an M-rated game or anything that.
But they like to make it about that, unfortunately. However, I do agree with you that it should be a parent's job, just because your kid's personality, I mean, well, see, I want to say it's a parent's job, but at the same time, parents have a way of sort of kind of not paying attention to obvious signs that something's wrong with your kid.
And that's why we just need better parents.
Oh, no, I agree. But it's sort of like when you're so attached to someone, you might not see their faults, but other people can clearly see their faults. And I was just thinking about, not to really counter your argument, but it's sort of like I was not a violent kid at all. But my mom was afraid that if I played those games, I would be violent. And, of course, I did get my hands on them one way or another, and here I am today, not violent. Angry, but not violent. However, there are some kids that I knew growing up that were prone to be violent, to act violent. I wouldn't want those kids playing M-rated games.
Right.
And it's sort of like, it's kind of weird to say, well, as a parent, you should know, but at the same time, you're so attached that you might be blind to, you know, what your kid actually is. And I don't think you necessarily have to be a bad parent to not notice that, but a lot of times you are a bad parent if you don't notice things like that.
And I want to point out this comment. This is from Tiger Claw. He says, this is a cautionary tale for parents. If you take the console away from your kids, there could be some dangerous repercussions, however you spell it. And I don't like the way that's worded, because if the parent feels that they need to discipline their child, and part of that discipline is taking away their game console, I mean, did we ever hear what he did to get that console taken away? There might have been a good reason. And you can't.
I think it was just the fact that he was addicted.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he was addicted to the point of not doing his homework or not doing chores around the house.
I mean, I am willing to admit it, that I was fully addicted to video games. Like, that's all I did. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't care about eating. I didn't care about anything in the world except for playing video games. And eventually I grew out of it, but I just like, well, if this could happen to me, it could happen to somebody else. And maybe with that kid, I mean, especially nowadays, it isn't like games had multiplayer where it was always different and exciting. Eventually, it was just the same thing over and over again. But the game like Call of Duty, I mean, I was addicted to that game, and I work full-time.
Yeah.
And eventually I stopped.
But, I mean, basically what I'm trying to say is, you know, you can't be a slave to your kids. And, you know, you have to be a parent, and that's what they tried to do. Now, there were probably other things wrong with him. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's a very sad story, and I'm not trying, and I don't want to blame the parents, because that's probably what they had to do to try to discipline their child so their child would grow up to be, you know, a good human being. That's probably what they thought. And so, you know, sitting there saying, oh, I better not take it away because he might go run away and fall out of a tree, that's wrong. I don't agree with that. The parents had to do something, and that's what they did. And, you know, maybe they intended to give it back to him in small doses after a week or two. You know, I don't know. Nobody knows. We're never going to find out, unfortunately. But, you know, if that's the way that they wanted to parent their kid, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no law in the books that says you can't withhold toys from your children. I had toys taken away from me as a kid. You know, yeah. So anyway.
I mean, it was a terrible accident.
Yes.
That's really what it is. And it's the parents, there's no quote from the parents saying that this is a game's fault, which I'm glad to see.
Right.
And however, I think the media likes to mention that it was has to do with the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, they haven't made the mistakes of most websites of just blatantly going, oh, this is because of games and games make you violent. But they kind of mention it just kind of to get all that attention.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
You have a good night, Bobby.
Thank you. So coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio, live from Sacramento. They were off last week, and they had their big episode 300, and they just they decided not to do any more. So they didn't do any show last week on after episode 300. I guess they were just living off 300. But I think they're back for 301 tonight, 300 plus one. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing good. How are you doing? That's the big question.
I'm alive. I'm much better.
You're still alive?
I'm still alive. It was a triumph to get past surgery, but I no joke, I'm back. It was nice. I kind of took a couple weeks off of just all things my normal life, and it was nice. And I'm sure Loki and Dark Soccer both appreciated the opportunity as well. But, you know, if you haven't been listening to OLR, I did have surgery, laparoscopic, about a week and a half ago. So that was the main reason we weren't on last week, just recovering. And I'm back. It's great.
So, what do you think of some of the stuff we've been talking about tonight?
I think I definitely have opinions on the game Little Big Planet that we'll be getting into on our show a little later. Very interesting, though, how much they're missing on the copyright infringement when it sounds like they have a real trigger finger on a lot of it, which doesn't surprise me at all because Media Molecule kind of had a trigger finger previously over the whole soundtrack. Controversy from a couple weeks ago, but it's very interesting some of the stuff that's still there. You're right. I didn't play the Gradius level myself, which I will probably kick myself because I'll never get the chance.
No,
but
it's still
right,
there.
It was there like 90 minutes ago before you went online. I was actually playing Little Big Planet not that long ago either. It was still there and on the first page of games.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing's just got a matter of time before it comes down. I mean, especially with the trigger finger. I'd really kind of like to know more about what their process is. I know it's very easy in that game to submit a concern. It's literally one button.
Yeah.
And I actually hit that button on accident when I was learning how to play the game, you know, and I darn near reported one of the regular story levels as a bad level, but it takes a little picture and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of pictures, I went in and played the Bobby Blackwolf level, and I actually took little pictures and uploaded them to the server, and now they're showing us the little preview pictures for your level.
I know, that's great. I don't understand why it flipped the thing. Because is it
the right way on your screen?
It was in the beta.
Oh, that's very strange. You know, I wonder if they did something with that where, you know how cameras are kind of funky and they reverse the images anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Did you flip it yourself when you put it in there? I don't know if you remember.
No.
Maybe they did that in the conversion from beta to normals. They flipped all the pictures because cameras sometimes do that. I don't know.
Yeah, so. But anyway, thanks for flipping it back before putting it in your pod.
You're welcome. Yes, I did. I put it in my own pod and flipped it back over. Not that many people get to see the pod, but you know, I have done the multiplayer thing online,
mm-hmm.
and it's fun. I would love to do an OLR level if I feel creative. Like I've gotten an idea for a level, but it's more of like just a generic platforming level. I haven't figured out how to put an OLR spin on it. Maybe I'll leave that to Loki. He's pretty creative.
I've tried the tutorial stuff for the level editor just so I could get some 100% in the other levels, because there's one that you have to play through in order to get 100% in one of the first few levels. But I mean, I don't even know what I'd start with creating. That's the thing. It's like
not copyrighted material.
Yeah, be careful.
I want to create something that has copyrighted material all over it, just like absolutely like stupid.
Well, what's interesting is
the logo of the Copyright Office.
That would be funny.
The copyright level. SSJ100 Matt is in our chat room right now saying, I have a fart princess level in mind. If you've been listening to our show lately, you'll know what that's about. That could be interesting.
It would be cool if the levels were challenge. Swappable like as save files or something like that. That would be kind of neat instead of having the... Because you can't really download levels as far as I'm aware. I don't know. You have to play them online, which kind of sucks, especially if their server is down, like it's been frequently.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wish there was a way like to save them.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
there a way to save them?
Well, no, I think you can save a level from, like, if you've played it on cool levels and then save it onto your own planet, if they've set that to be able to be done.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
When you publish a level, you can actually say, can other people save this or not, and stuff like that. So theoretically, if somebody lets you, you can actually save that level and put it back into your planet. I know my level's like that because I was able to do that. I actually was able to download my beta level and actually put it back in my on my moon, so now I can actually go back in and edit it again.
Interesting. I should go download Bobby's level and just change all the Bobby Blackwell stuff to Orange Lounge Radio, and there we go. No, I'm just kidding. That's copyright infringement.
Yes, because my logo's copyright bit, man, so, you know.
That's okay. Your logo won't be there anymore.
No, but I'm curious to see if something like that happens, where somebody copies a level and makes it better,
now,
and then the original author gets
pissed
off. Did you
play around with, and I did this too while I was playing with my other friend. I'm like, hey, look at this. And then I started sticking crap to him, just like a bunch of stuff, and he had like, at one point, he looked like a bush because
yeah.
I had like...
Yeah.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of fun things to do in it. To do, so.
Endless amusement in Little Big Planet. But yeah, you know, that's not the only game that's got copyright controversy, obviously. There's Guitar Hero as well, which I haven't had a chance to check out World Tour yet. I don't have $100 just kind of lying around right now to pick it up. What?
Don't bother.
Really? It's oh, that's right. I remember talking about it on last show. You just weren't a fan. What about the game itself outside of the peripherals?
There's a game? No, you know, about the game itself, I mean, they've got... I don't really like the way that they've, you know, acquire the star power on the drums anymore. Even with their controller, it's still kind of awkward. I don't like the career mode. The career mode forces you to play 4, 5, and 6 songs in a row. So if you're going to play one of the things in career mode, you better have 30 or 40 minutes set aside. You can't just go and say, I'm going to play like 1 or 2 songs and then I got to go. You're locked into playing a bunch of songs at once.
You know, I hate to say it, but I think I might actually agree with something Kropotkin said before you went live tonight on his UK update, and that would be, I think these games have jumped the shark. I mean, Rock Band 2, I have a feeling, is going to be like the peak, and it's going to go downhill from here. Because Rock Band 2 is like the game, I think, if you're going to have any of these games, get Rock Band 2.
Yeah, that's what we say. But most people I talk to are like, no, Guitar Hero is going to kill Rock Band. I'm like, no, it's not.
I don't know. So. If you've actually played both, I don't know. But I haven't played Guitar Hero World Tour yet, but I just based on what I've heard from people I trust, I don't know. I think I should be more excited to get a new guitar than anything else. And even then, it might be broke. Who knows?
Well, I think the later units, I think, are working fine. I think it was like just the first batch. So,
well, how do I know the ones sitting on the shelf isn't still a first batch one? Is there a number or something I can ID it with?
No.
Just have to cross my fingers and hope.
Good luck.
Go to a store. Sells out of them. Yeah, good luck. Well, anyway, tonight on Orange Lounge Radio, we got we're going to be talking about all this copyright stuff, of course. Going to be talking about the new Xbox experience, some of the other Xbox stuff, an interesting Sony patent going on out there. And, you know, I'm looking forward. This week is Wrath of the Lich King week. So we have a little bit to say on Warcraft. So it's going to be a busy show tonight. We got a lot to catch up on. So stay tuned right here after the Bobby Blackwell show for Orange Lounge Radio.
Yeah, you want to know how I know that this is the Wrath of the Lich King week? It's because... where I work at a small company, but when there's two owners, well, one of the owners is really big into World of Warcraft. And we have actually had to change our development schedules. So we are done on Wednesday because he is going to be unavailable. He's getting the game at midnight on Thursday. I think it comes out on Thursday.
You know, it does. I got to be honest. I don't think I'm going to do the midnight thing with this game because I don't really want to go stand out there in the cold with all the nerds. You know, no offense, I love you nerds. You keep the show going, but you know, some of y'all need a bathe. But I don't want to go stand out there with the WoW nerds and then you know, run home to play the game only to have to go to work the next day, and I can't really take the day off of work or anything. I'll just kind of roll in the Target the next day after work and just pick it up, because those starting zones are going to be insanity the first night anyway, so you're not going to get anything done.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what he's going to be doing. Is he's going to be pretty much unavailable for the next week after that, and so we kind of have to have everything done on Wednesday, which Thursday is our usual meeting day. We actually had to move it because of World of Warcraft.
Wow. Well, at least, hey, you get to have the rewards because of World of Warcraft.
Yeah. So, anyway, Orange Lounge Radio is up next, orangeloungeradio.com. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.
Yeah, for the Horde.
So we will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. Join us live. Interact with the show directly. Leave us a voicemail on any topic, or leave a bumper for using our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. Or email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or leave us a voicemail, just like the kid did. It was good. So, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, The Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Maiko, Maximilian, it's Maximilian backwards. Nice try, dude. Reffy, Seymour's Booty, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Act Def, Aki Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Altame Satsuma, Ash Fox, Billy O'Keefe, Binary 667, Bloodshot Robot, Dark Tetsuya, De Blue Guy, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, Game Guru, Gaudi, Gold Anthro, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hitstun, Jillio, JP the Prodigy, Kells, Kazan, Elfrost, MacMan, Moromichan, Melted General, Misty, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nix Till, Nick Ferg, Outrage, Pen15, Punchy, Redertainment, Shadow Next Gen, Sky, SSJ100, Matt Sub-Z, Sully907, TDB30, Tedekin, Tej the Eagles Fan, 116, thanks for your call, TM95, Visid, VXJSNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, YGG Dar, and Zappy. So we will be back next week. Don't stay up too late playing World of Warcraft, guys. It's not good for you. We'll be back next Sunday without World of Warcraft. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Tonight, we celebrate the birthdays of the consoles and look at how they fared. Plus, we ask if innovative games should get higher review scores just for being innovative. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of November 16th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
Happy birthday! Get your party hats on. Go get a cake. As long as you don't have a big robot with a chainsaw cutting your cake. That would get the tunnel snakes mad at you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. Head on over to chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, we're going to let you call in. You can give your own opinions on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word on Skype, or you can call us toll-free in North America, 1-866-880-0156. We'll have those open in about 30 minutes. You can also email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you might get your email read on the air. So happy birthday to the consoles. And speaking of which, I do want to say, did you guys see my ugly mug on Kotaku? Thank you, Mike Fahey, for posting that. He actually did a nice picture write-up of the Poning for a Cure event, and it's up on Kotaku, and it's complete with picture of me interviewing the producer of Global Agenda. So thank you, Mike. And I'm sorry if I broke your monitor with my visage. Anyway, the consoles, they're having a birthday. This is not about me. It's about them. It's pretty much all around like this week. It's been when all the consoles came out. November 22nd, 2005 was the first one. That's when the Xbox 360 was launched in North America. The PS3, tomorrow, November 17th, 2006, is when the PS3 came out in North America. And then November 19th, 2006 is when the Wii came out. And, I mean, remember back then, you know, in 2006, everybody was like, yeah, we're, you know, all the eBayers were getting the PS3 because that was going to be the hot item. And they weren't really picking up the Wii at the time because Nintendo was releasing so many to market and nobody really wanted the Wii anyway. It was, you know, just a waggle controller and no high def. And here we are still 2 years later fighting for Wiis when they show up on the shelf. And PS3s you could find everywhere like the next month. In fact, eBayers in December were returning their consoles back to the store because they were able to get more money on the return to the store than they were getting on eBay just because they flooded the market. The eBayers kind of killed their own market for the PS3. And that there were, at the time, there really weren't many good games to play on it. I mean, Resistance came out, and then in December, MotorStorm 1 came out. But other than that, I mean, everything was a multi-platform title that was any good, in my opinion. And it really wasn't until later that you finally got the titles that you just had to have a PlayStation 3 to play. You know, Metal Gear Solid 4 finally came out this year. Little Big Planet, I consider a must-have title if you have a PS3. Those didn't really come out until this year, you know? I mean, it's been a very slow start, but they finally picked up some steam. It also helps that HD DVD bit the bullet. And so Blu-ray... they're actually saying Blu-ray is going to save this year's holiday season, actually. So a Sony proprietary format has finally won because Betamax and UMD didn't do it, and Minidisc really didn't win. But Blu-ray finally won, and that's going to save the PS3. The Wii, people are still... consumers are still loving the Wii. Now, granted, I'm sure that a lot of people in our chat room are not big Wii fans. Or, you know, they say that the Wii sucks when really they mean the games on the Wii. But, I mean, it's, you know, not a high-definition console. It's not for the graphics whores, and it's just not what they're into. But everybody else loves it. And then, you know, the Xbox 360, it had a year head start, and it's still going strong. It's going to go through a major interface change on their dashboard this week. I mean, there's a lot of great games that have been coming out for it. You know, I mean, like I said, I loved Fable 2. A lot of other people said it was short. I say it was just right. I'm playing through Fallout 3 on the 360, which I hear is better on the 360 than the PS3. Obviously, the PC version trumps both of those, especially in terms of, like, view distance and things like that. But, you know, the 360 is still going strong. And I actually remember last year around this time, you know, we had just gotten all those big games. You know, Halo 3 had come out and... all the major games, and we're like, okay, what do they have left for 2008? And here we are. We've, you know, other than Grand Theft Auto 4, that was the only game that was still going to be left for 2008 because it got delayed from October 2007. And we're, what are they going to do? How are they going to top this? And I think they did. I mean, I think there's been a lot of great games that have come out this year. I've been very pleased with the game selection. So here we are in chat. Chat.allgames.com. I'm going to see what some people are saying. They are wishing happy birthday to our consoles, to all the consoles. And I think even like the previous generation's consoles, I mean, I know the PS2 was in October, but I think the GameCube and the Xbox One also did like a 2-day off release in the second weekend of November. So they're even older. And I know Xbox Live had their 6th birthday. And if just in case, I don't know if it's going to be in the new interface or not, but in the Xbox Live is 5 celebration, that's where you can get your All Games Radio gamer picks. We still have them up there. They're still free, and you can sport the Wolfie logo along with 3,000 other people, according to MyGamerCard.net. I wonder how low that number is going to drop when people stop using gamer picks on Wednesday, but we'll see. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, well, the Wii has a lot of crap, sure, but where else can you play Mario Kart or Mario Galaxy or Brawl? Then he says, wait, maybe those those aren't such great examples. No, I think those are all three very well-done games and very fun games. Tej116 says, with our economy, Blu-ray can save the holidays, LOL. Pen15, when he was talking about my appearance on Kotaku, says, why didn't you have shades on? I assume you always walked around with shades. Fail. It's because there's very little light in the computer arena, and I kind of like to see every once in a while. True asks, wow, the Wii came out on a Sunday 3 years ago. Nintendo always did a Sunday launch. It kind of stems from like the Japanese thing where they try to do the large releases in Japan on a Sunday. And I think they carry that over because, I mean, they still do some big releases like Animal Crossing, City Folk, which I'll get to a little bit later on. That was released today. That came out this morning. I went and picked it up this morning. Not sure if I should have, but that's exactly what I did. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Havoc978 says, we all need Black Wolf avatars. You do. You absolutely do. It is the most used gamer pick. We're beating Evil Avatar by like 500. And I guarantee you that out of those, like I think it's like 3,051 or something. I was looking at it today. 3,000 of them have no clue what it is. They just think it looks cool. But that's fine. Sully907 says, Brawl could quite possibly be my game of the year. It's that fun and well made. If only Nintendo Online wasn't essentially broken, I would say it's hands down right now. One of the other things to notice is that, you know, there's been a lot of changes to the way the consoles work, especially starting on Wednesday. I mean, we can't really talk about it too much until Wednesday when the new Xbox Experience comes out. But if you look at the console as it was launched on launch day, the console itself, with no game in the drive, behaved differently than it does now. I mean, even the Xbox 360, it didn't launch with a marketplace blade. It didn't do that much because they didn't think that Xbox Live Arcade was going to take off as much as it did. So they didn't plan for it, and it wasn't until the update the next year or the year after or something where they actually added more stuff for the blades and to support Xbox Live Arcade and bring them more to the forefront. The PlayStation 3, you could not do background downloading when it came out. There were a lot of things you couldn't do in-game messaging to your friends. You had to exit out of the game to do a message. That is now a thing of the past. With the Wii, it didn't launch with the news and the forecast channel. And with the Wii, you could play MP3s in the photo channel instead of WMAs. Actually, mine still plays MP3s. I feel bad for you people who can't play MP3s on your Wii anymore. So, I mean, they've all changed. You know, the shop channel on the Wii looks completely different. They've added, you know, the Nintendo channel where you can actually see videos of upcoming games and other advertisements that they throw in there. And, you know, it's very interesting that this is kind of one of the first generations of consoles where the console itself has had drastic changes. And it's going to continue going on, the PS3 getting home. That, you know, depending on how they integrate that, that may be the big drastic change for the PS3. So it's been very interesting to kind of watch the progression from what we bought in the beginning and what they are now in terms of what the devices can do. Sully907 says, I think that's the best thing about this generation, the evolution of online play and graphical user interface, the operating systems, in other words. Even more than AI and graphics innovations, this is what has helped make gaming even more enticing as a medium going forward. These systems now serve as media centers, not just gaming ones. Then everybody's trying to be an entertainment center, except for Nintendo. The Wii plays video games and other toys that go in with video games. Tiger Claw says, that's because Microsoft and Sony listen to the demands of gamers and want those specific features. It depends on who you ask. Some people think they don't listen at all. But they do. And Nintendo even listens a little bit. Now, they may not act on it, but they do listen. Histon says, huh, they actually removed MP3. Yeah, actually, the Photo Channel 1.1, if you have a Wii, a launch day Wii, you have Photo Channel 1.0, which allows you to play MP3s in the backgrounds of your photos for your slideshows and stuff. And the thing is, MP3 is not an open format, and you do actually have to license it. There's like a German company that licenses the MP3 format. So apparently that license was up and Nintendo couldn't really use it anymore, so they switched to WMA, which is Windows Media Audio, which is another licensed format, but whatever. They're right down the street from each other in Redmond. So the Photo Channel 1.1, which is automatically installed on any Wiis that are on the shelf today, removes MP3 playback and replaces it with WMA, so you can play WMA files off your SD memory card. If you have an older Wii, you just don't need to update to 1.1 if you use the photo channel at all. But as long as you have an early Wii that has 1.0, you'll be able to play MP3s. And it doesn't affect the one game I can think of that actually does custom soundtracks, which is Excitruck. That'll still play MP3s because they can't actually change the game to do something different. Since we're on the topic of the Wii, let's talk about Animal Crossing. It came out today, Animal Crossing City Folk, which is exactly just like the other Animal Crossings. So if you've played the other Animal Crossings, you've played this one. They really didn't do that much differently. It's closer to the DS game than it is to the GameCube game. Basically, I mean, I've only played it for, you know, the one day, so I only spent like a couple hours, which means, you know, you go in and you do the exact same missions for Tom Nook that you start with. I mean, it's like old by now. They didn't really change it too much. There is the city, which is basically, that's kind of where some of the characters that would come into your town on specific days, that's actually where they go. So they're there all the time now, as far as I can tell. So instead of waiting for, you know, the Crazy Red to come in to your town, you can now, I mean, you got to get his password, which probably takes a few days, but you could just go into the city at whatever time and see what he has for sale in there. Same with the fortune teller, I believe. And then the rest of it, it's the DS version in 480p widescreen. That's about it. I did buy the one that came with the Wii Speak peripheral, and I actually did hook it up and attach it to the top of my sensor bar. But see, it's one of those friend code type of things, and I don't think any of my friends actually have Animal Crossing yet. So I haven't been able to test it. I don't even know if it works, because there's no way to test it. There is going to be a channel called the Wii Speak channel coming out, and it's not out yet, but you can go ahead and redeem your code to get the footprint onto your Wii that will go out and update and get the full channel when it's ready. And it'll send a message to your message board and make your Wii Blink blue when it's ready. But so I haven't really been able to test it at all. Now, that was one of the interesting things that I wanted to talk about, is that they are really trying to curb reselling of the peripheral, the Wii Speak peripheral. You can only use this code to download the Wii Speak channel once. So I have used my code, and so I can download the Wii Speak channel to my Wii. If this Wii breaks, or I get a new Wii or something like that, I won't be able to re-download it. If I decide that the Wii Speak peripheral sucks and I decide to sell it, they're not going to be able to get the Wii Speak channel. They're not going to be able to use that functionality. They can only use it in a game like Animal Crossing. They can't use it outside of the game. Same with if I gave it away to one of you people on the show, you'd get a GIMP product, which might be funny, but it'd still be GIMP'd. So that's kind of interesting that they're trying to curb the resale market. You can't get that channel at all unless you purchase Wii Speak new. Is this a trend that people like? I'm going to look in chat and see if this is something that's really necessary for the survival of the gaming industry. We've talked about how used games in the past. We've talked about how developers are crying foul at used games because so many more people are buying the used games and none of that's getting into the developer. People are still spending money, but the people who made the game aren't seeing any of it. And some people say that that's crap. And, I mean, is this a good thing? Is this a trend you'd like to see? I bet not. Sully907 says, Blackwell sends listeners GIMP'd prizes. Confirmed. TigerClaw says, I think most friends out there don't want to admit publicly that they play Animal Crossing. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of people that admit that they do play the Animal Crossing. I know Sky already has it on Orange Lounge Radio. We just haven't traded those 12-digit numbers. Why can't you guys use the one friend code? Think that's what you guys said, Nintendo, in the beginning, like when you were announcing the Wii. You're like, oh, it's not going to be like the DS. Everybody's going to have one friend code, and that's going to work with all the games. Yeah. You guys suck. That only works for sending stuff. You can't actually play games with those friend codes. That sucks. Sully907 says, the gaming industry needs to man up or shut up. The consumer deserves choice. You don't see other industries crying foul over used inventory. Teach116 says, it's for the survival of Nintendo. They couldn't compete with the technology of Sony and Microsoft, so they carved their own niche with little children and elderly people. Binary 667 says they're really pushing you to buy games new. Rock Band 2 is the download code for the songs. Gears of War 2 has the download code for the maps. And actually, Rock Band 2, it's the download code is actually in like the track pack and the AC/DC. You can only transfer those songs to your hard drive once. That's what Rock Band 2 is doing. And then there's, you know, like the Fable 2 Limited Edition, which I actually got my codes for the Fable 2 Limited Edition, and I didn't get the Limited Edition of Fable 2. Thank you, Microsoft. Appreciate it. Pen15 wants to know, how does this relate to ninjas and or robots? Well, you see, the thing is, if a ninja comes in and steals the WeSpeak peripheral, he will not be able to use the WeSpeak channel, because even a ninja can't get in to go recreate a new code. Even if he steals your code and be flipping awesome to get your code, he couldn't use it because you've already used it. You are defeating the ninjas that want to steal little crappy microphones that sit on top of TVs. Do you agree with defeating ninjas in this way? ActDev says he got the codes to Fable 2, and he doesn't even have the game at all. Hitsun said this would be fine if Nintendo produced their games forever, but 3 years from now, when you can no longer buy a new Wii Speak, you'll be screwed. And maybe at that time, they may release the channel to the public. You never know. Or people won't be using the Wii anyway. Amazetsuma tells me that a ninja would just take the Wii with the microphone. But what if the ninja... in order for a ninja to be flippin' awesome, he needs to have as little bit of weight on him as possible. That's how he is silent, and that's how he flips. And he's flippin' awesome. So the Wii Speak microphone is actually very lightweight, and it could hide in the same pocket that he hides the shirk and that he's going to kill you with tonight. But the entire Wii, that's a little bit heavier, and that slows him down, and it would actually take him 3 seconds longer to kill you, and that is unacceptable to the International Order of Ninjas. So, while it makes more sense that he would also take the Wii, it would be hard for him to run away and still be as awesome as he would be as a ninja. So far, Animal Crossing, City Folk, if you are an absolute Animal Crossing fanboy, fangirl, fan nerd, whatever, you might want to pick it up, but it really doesn't add enough to make it worth, especially if you've already played the GameCube version and you've already played the DS version. It doesn't add enough, other than, you know, because it looks like the online mode is exactly the same as it was in the DS mode, and the DS game's cheaper, and the DS is cheaper than a Wii. So far, I'm giving it a D. D as in, don't piss off the ninjas. Sully907 says, if you're an absolute Animal Crossing fanboy, buy the GameCube version again for $5 in a bargain bin. So let's talk about the main topic that I wanted to talk about tonight. This was actually a story that came across my RSS reader today, actually, I believe. This is an editorial from Keith Stewart over at The Guardian. Now, this is in relation to games and reviewers. So I know that there's a couple of people that like to talk about reviews of games and if they agree with the reviewer and stuff. And this is kind of an interesting take. He's comparing game reviews to that of movie reviews in this. And so basically, this is a part of his editorial. Keith Stewart over at The Guardian. He says, while EA DICE's wonderful Mirror's Edge has been garnering mostly positive reviews, it looks like the title won't be up there in the Metacritic rankings, challenging the likes of Gears of War 2 or Call of Duty World of War. Many reviewers have criticized the combat, the repetition, the smattering of trial and error moments. There has been a general compulsion to counter the sequences of innovative genius with niggling doubts about core mechanics. This is frustrating, and I think it highlights one of the key issues of contemporary gaming. What exactly is a video game, and what are the fundamental elements every game must provide? Because if it were a movie, Mirror's Edge would be critically lauded as by the specialist film press. It would be considered a forward-thinking masterpiece. Sure, it's dangerous to compare two such different media, but there are key similarities. One is the way in which critics would be able to deconstruct the experience on offer and draw it from undeniable values that outweigh concerns about basic construction. He goes on saying, you know, that if certain brilliant indie movies were rated by game critics, they would get panned, and they're apparently very brilliant. He then says, I found the IGN review particularly depressing. Not only does this writer suggest that the combat system could have done with an extra button, why add extra layers of complexity? Since when was that an artful response to anything? But ends with, Quote, the ideas are there for a very cool experience, and I truly hope that a sequel is spawned, but this first attempt falls just a bit short, unquote. And he says, can you imagine for a second critics emerging from the press screening of Apocalypse Now or The Magnificent Ambersons or Blade Runner and proclaiming, quote, yeah, it had some good ideas, but it wasn't perfect. I'll look forward to the sequel, unquote. I suppose there's an argument that as films are only 90 minutes long, we'll accept a more flawed experience, but are notions of quality really so tightly governed by longevity? I hope not. So essentially what he's kind of arguing is Mirror's Edge is so innovative, we should overlook the fact that it's not fun to play. Now, granted, I have not played Mirror's Edge. I played the demo and died and didn't finish the demo. But I do know somebody in our chat room who does review games for a living, for real press, not this fake web stuff. It's actual, you know, print media. And he was complaining about Mirror's Edge to no end. He would be stuck in a room for like 90 minutes, is what he said. I don't know if he was exaggerating or if he was actually correct in that. 90 minutes and couldn't get out. And he basically said the tagline on his review was going to be the most frustrating game that ever blew me away. And he said he was going to trash the game because it wasn't fun for him. And what this reviewer is saying was, well, yeah, it may not be fun, but it's something new, 10 out of 10. And I'm sorry, it's not a movie, it's a game. And games are meant to be, or at least a game like Mirror's Edge. I'm going to be very careful because Ian Bogost is head of the Serious Games, and so he doesn't like the word fun. But games, to me, are meant to have some modicum of being entertaining. And have gameplay that works. And apparently, according to some reviewers, they believe that Mirror's Edge does not have that. But this guy is saying you should overlook that. You've never done first-person free-running before. 10 out of 10. I'm going to look in chat. Pen15 says that this guy is an idiot. The demo blows whole ass. Whale ass. I don't want to know anything about whale ass, Pen15. You can't call in and talk about that either. I don't want to know about whales. Kazan says, so it's like Battlecruiser 9000. It's a game that's too good to be fun. I hope Derek Smart is not listening, because I don't need him to call in and start a flame war. BarrowCTU says, yeah, we wouldn't want to have any fun in a game, would we? Game Guru says, if innovation was all that was needed for games, we would all be fans of the Wii. Shadow Next Gen says, I'm having a lot of fun with Mirror's Edge. DJ Tyrant says, he really enjoyed the demo. Sully907 says, I think there are rooms for both types of product out there. If you look at a game like Mirror's Edge, it has some glaring flaws. But if its innovation equate to an enjoyable end experience, isn't it worth playing? Shadow Next Gen says, there's not meant to be much combat in Mirror's Edge. You're supposed to avoid it. Which, apparently, when you're surrounded and you need to take them out one at a time, that's combat. You need to take them out to get ahead. Kuroishi says, I thought Mirror's Edge was fun because it was more along the lines of games where you play over and over and over to get perfect. So it's like Mega Man, and a speed run in Mega Man. And actually, that is one of the big things about Mirror's Edge, is that it's speed run. You are trying to get the speed run the fastest time. That's what the leaderboards are. Ben15 then says, a well-rounded, thought-out experience beats an innovative one every day, hence why of us own multiple copies of Tetris despite being the same. Shadow Next Gen says, you can disarm them, but you don't have to do combat if you don't want. The times where you have to do combat, the combat is fairly easy. They could have added another button, though, because the IGN guy said so. Xenocore says, based on what everyone is saying, Prince of Persia made too much of an impact. The reviews suggest, in comparison, that there is more playability in Prince of Persia with the added combat engine to give the game more depth. And, I mean, Mirror's Edge isn't the first game to have free running. I mean, Assassin's Creed was all about having the free running and the parkour, I guess. So, you know, Mirror's Edge just puts it in the Battlefield engine and gives you less colors. Lots of red. Not really actually lots of red. Sometimes that you wish you saw red so you knew where to go next. So we're going to take a break, and hopefully people will call in and want to talk about, should reviews get a pass? Or should games get a pass just because they're innovative? I will say, I loved Portal not because it was innovative, but because it was an enjoyable experience. And that's why I think Portal was my game of the year last year. And everybody looked at me like, are you nuts? No, Portal. It was all about Portal. Not because it was something new, but it was because it was something enjoyable. So I believe this is actually a... we're actually going to be playing this on the podcast, so you guys actually get a song this time. I believe that this is a debut track, or I think we're debuting it. I'm not sure if we played it first or Chatterbox played it first, but this is from a man that you hear all the time here on this show. He thinks he's the second co-host, but he's not. But he is Pen 15. And he does a little bit of rapping, and I'm going to give a little bit of background on this song. If you don't listen to Chatterbox Video Game Radio, it's actually on an AM station out of Phoenix, Arizona. We air it here on All Games Radio. They are one of the first All Games affiliates. One of the co-hosts on there is Ara Sharinian, and he is a game designer. He has worked on titles like Cars, and I think Cars 2, and some others, and I think now he's actually teaching some classes at Arizona State University or something like that. I don't know. I don't have his full resume in front of me. But one of the games that he worked on that he was immensely proud of was this game called The Red Star, which he was making at Acclaim before it went belly up. And in fact, they finished the game, but it was never released for the PS2 until much, much, much later, much after he was let go from the company. But he was very proud of this game because it was... he's big into shoot 'em ups, which are not first-person shooters, but more like, you know, Galaga, R-Type, those type of games. So Pen15 then said, you know, if you send me the game for free, I'll write you a song. And 2 years later, pretty much, here we are, and we're going to play Pen15's song about The Red Star, which is a game on the PS2 by one of our All Games affiliates. So you're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Welcome everyone to the Red Star. Don't worry, I'll give you a head start. That's when your head starts leaking red parts, so it's a dead star. And that ain't even the best part. Let's start talking about the Red Star. SK style on the cover, damn it, I love a chick with a pistol and sickle, can't choose any other. Makita, the little mamacita with a meat cleaver and the shoes sweeper of Beastica. You wouldn't want to meet her in a dark alley, cause she gladly begins to tattoo your smile from your brain cavity. A walking trench coat tragedy. You're a brief and says we gotta stop the gun that thunder and attack the RSS, but not the rich. Site, summer it, really simple syndication. Urex overall information is to have no hesitation to engage confrontation with violent vindications. Enemies covered in laceration, energy level estimation is bordering evacuation due to explosive detonation. Weapon maintenance, concentration, constant breaking, combat phases, attacking aviation, combat combination, battalion, battle station, give battle, but far from shaking, check the battle evaluation, got weapons for any situation, a culmination in aggravation, I trigger's rain, shredder him like a rope or socket, so nothing remains. My aim's so insane, it's like the guns shoot themselves, come fiend, chummy with a blade that's sharp as hell. I'm a sharp shooter, but I ain't Bret Hart, you dying son, just like a red star, my lead darts, make your best bark, the best of RSS. I'm a Death Star, I'm a sharp shooter, but I ain't Bret Hart. You dying, son, just like a Red Star. Shout out to Aura, Chatterbox, Alon.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis is the best video game ever.
I disagree. It's a very good game, but I think Donkey Kong is the best game ever.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck.
On allgames.com.
I'll have you know, Pen15, that I was watching and we lost 10 listeners during your song, so thank you for that. Just kidding. I think the ninja actually took them away. Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. If you want to leave a bumper, that was from KDog96, one of the bumpers he supplied. You can send it to me on Skype. You can just leave a voicemail, Bobby Blackwell Show, or you can email me an MP3, make sure it's music we are going to be able to play, or just don't put music behind it, and I'll do it. That would be great, because we're recycling the old ones over and over and over again. That was Pen15 with The Red Star Part 1 Final Mix. That was the name of the song that he sent to me about an hour before we went on the air, so... That was the song. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line. Bobby, actually, we already have a guy that jumped the gun, So I'm going to go ahead and take this. So here's the first call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, it's Tej116, beating out Pen15 again.
Yes. Well, that's because you called before I even opened the phone, so he didn't actually have a chance.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry to Pen.
Don't be.
I just got to say, I'm not liking this whole new game, used game, big deal that's
okay.
going through.
What's going
with this whole?
Yeah. So what's up? What do you think?
Like this whole thing, they should release some kind of extra code or something. All this extra stuff, you know, it's great and all having that free when you buy it new. It's another incentive to buy it new. But what happens? You know, you're out of the game. Where does it go? You know, when you can't get it new, you know, where does it go? And there ought to be some kind of like program you can delete your program and just
right.
give them back the code, whatever else. They can manufacture a new one, sell it off again, or
yeah. Well, I mean, that is a good question because I mean they are really looking at the short term. They're looking at while the game is still in sale, and they're not really thinking about the collectors. And we're seeing that a lot, you know, because I mean I do have a good collection of games that are 20, 30 years old, something like that. And, you know, if there were DRM on them like there are today, I wouldn't be able to play them. But as it stands, I can go in there and put Breakout in my Atari 2600, and it works just fine.
Yeah, it's a lovely thing to have, like, all these old games. But what I find, like, when I think of a collector, and when most people think of a collector, you think of the collector, and you see them not actually playing their games. And it's just, that's just another stereotype. It's generally not true from what I've found from actual game collectors. They actually go back and use these things a lot
right.
of time, because if they get it, they're generally not going to leave it in the wrapper.
Some do. It depends on the game. Like if somebody, you know, it's like that's their retirement. If somebody finds Chrono Trigger still shrink wrap from factory sealed, they ain't opening that thing.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how often are you going to find something like that when it's actually worth something still in the shrink wrap, and you're going
right.
to be able to afford that, and then expect to sell it off?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But there's just this big controversy over all this. The DRM thing is, it's really sad, but what we're going to have to get used to is the fact that, you know, eventually we are going to have this whole digital download empire, and we're going to be able to make backups, but those are going to be heavily DRM'd also. You're still going to need your backup codes and everything. Everything's going to be managed over the internet. What about the people who want to play out of the box, maybe out of a store offline, you know? You're not going to have that at all.
Yeah, and I mean, there are people that have that. I mean, basically, you know, the reason that a lot of the DRM from EA was kind of dialed back was because of the U.S. military. Because they can't guarantee an internet connection when they're on the field, but they do play games when they're not, you know, under that much stress. That's how they de-stress when they're off hours. And,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and they can't actually play some of these games because they have to get on the internet. Now, granted, depending on where they are, some of them do have internet. It's kind of flaky and shaky, but, you know, sometimes they're in a place, they're in a way that they can't get online.
Yeah, I've met Marines debating between the PS3 and the 360. They've gone over with the PS3 just because it's got this internet access already built in. It's got this whole Blu-ray thing going for it too, for extra media assistance,
right.
you know, easier streaming, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But this whole internet phase, I mean, it's gonna happen, Bobby. It's gonna happen
mm-hmm.
soon. We're gonna have Blu-rays as a standard format. I can almost guarantee you, mark my words, in the next 15 years, we're gonna see Blu-ray as a hard backup copy that's going to be burned in a common household. We're not going
mm-hmm.
to see discs being shipped out. At best, we're gonna see some kind of flash drive, because eventually those are going to get cheaper. There's a point where you
mm-hmm.
can't physically get smaller, whether you're in discs or whether you're
yeah.
in flash drives. And flash drives just don't crash as often. You can manufacture them to much smaller points than you can with a disc.
Yeah.
At a certain point, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. It's just, it's sad for, you know, the collectors out there and stuff. So, you know, I wish that companies would think more far into the future rather than close by. But because of all the investors that have now come in, and you know, the gaming industry has more now been a business rather than, you know, it was a business before, like in the 80s, but it was a more fun business. It wasn't all suits and everything. Once the suits came in, they're looking at their bottom line, and they're looking at the almighty dollar. And you know, especially with the economy the way it is right now, they really are trying to find ways to take as much as your money as they can.
Yeah, they got to realize, you know, gas prices have come down so much only because of our economy. They've realized that we're not going to be able to afford this stuff. You know, they're going rising this up to $60. What's going to happen when we have this digital download stuff? You're not going to be able to resell those games. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with a $60 game and it ends up sucking? How are you going to return it? How are you going to sell it off?
Right.
You know? Like, yeah. It's...
I agree. It's not going to be fun. So enjoy what you have now with your ability to sell games. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
All right, anytime. Thank you. Take care.
So now I'm actually going to give out the numbers. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype or 1-866-880-0156. Sully 907 says, just do what Starduck does. Starduck doesn't have DRM. And they are offering a niche product to a hardcore that want to support them. Most developers don't enjoy that luxury. So we do have another call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and grab this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Ake Ripper.
Ake Ripper, what is on your mind?
Well, I missed last week because I fell asleep since, well, I'm not in the U.S.
Right.
So my time around here is like, you broadcast around like, what is it?
Like
2 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 or 2 o'clock. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well. Oh, well, anyway, what do I want to talk about? I think you talked about this last week, maybe, but Left 4 Dead.
I did not talk about it last week, so what do you think of it?
I think it's really, one of the best games this year.
Okay.
Without a doubt. And this I'm saying because I don't have any of the current systems.
Right.
Consoles, since, mm-hmm. well, I'm mostly playing on my PC, so.
Mm-hmm.
Left 4 Dead is something really, really sweet.
So, I mean, I actually did see somebody playing this down at the Computer Arena. I was there this week. I saw them playing the demo. So what makes it different from the other zombie games?
Well, on that front, I can't say anything, since I haven't played that
like Resident Evil and
I played a lot of those Resident Evils, mm-hmm. but I haven't played. I thought of you were talking about that mod for Half-Life 2, which is called something Zombie Panic, I think.
Yeah, something like that. Well, I mean, I'm also talking like Dead Rising and things like that.
Dead Rising I haven't played.
Because yeah, it's a console mainly, so yeah, you wouldn't have played that.
Yeah, but I play the first three Resident Evils, and, mm-hmm. well, compared to that, you can't compare it.
Right, because, I mean, it looked like Left 4 Dead was just a lot faster. It's more, you know, oh my god, here they come, I gotta fire at them really, really, really quickly.
Yeah, it sort of is if you're playing on whatever settings you are playing on, and mm-hmm. you have to watch out really for friendly fires, and friendly fires on, so you mm-hmm. can actually, if you play on the most difficult settings, you can take down your other friends with a shotgun blast.
Right.
So
you really like this game. And
I really do enjoy it, and it's coming out now the 18th.
Right, and I think the demo for PC gamers, I think the demo is already up on Steam, so you can pick
it
up there, and it's also on the consoles.
Yeah, the demo's been out since Monday. For those that didn't preview it, mm-hmm. and those who did pre-order it was already available in Friday last week.
Yeah.
Or was it?
Something like that. Yeah, but I mean, I know that the Left 4 Dead demo, it's up on the consoles, too, for everybody. It was only for pre-orders for a while, and people were trading Left 4 Dead codes like they were home invites. But now I think it's up for everybody, so if you're, you know, people should be checking this out if this is their cup of tea. So
It really is a nice game.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it. Bobby Blackwell, I didn't mean to cut him off there. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. You can call in. if you want to talk about any of these topics or anything else going on in gaming. If there's a game that's out that you like, I'm going to go ahead and take this call. So we're going to grab this one. And no, guys, it's not Pen 15. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Toshin, Bobby. What's up?
Toshin, what is on your mind?
I got two things I want to kind of talk about if I got time. But one is the XNE. Did you get into that yet?
We're not going to talk about that.
I'll take the kick now for the team.
Okay.
Okay. You can kick me anytime. I think I'm actually enjoying it. From what I don't know if who else got in the preview program. The
Everybody on my friends list.
Oh, I'll take that kick, big time. But I'm looking forward to it. I honestly wasn't looking forward to it in the beginning, but as I fiddled around with it, as I have been playing it when I can, which is my second question, I think it's gonna be good. But that leads me to the second thing: is what's going on with Xbox Live? Have you heard about the damage in the last?
Oh yeah, I've heard about it, and I think it's just you. It's revenge against you people that got in the preview.
Because is this like a Ninja's thing again?
I haven't had any problem, and I'm on the old and busted dashboard. I'm not on the new hotness like you people. USA Today didn't actually pick the first 250 respondents like they said they would.
Yeah,
so
they picked a lottery, was it? Like, was it
no,
was
just, was I, it? I don't. Nobody knows. All I know is that somebody I told to enter the USA Today thing after me got in, and I didn't. And so everybody thinks I'm like upset about being in being in XNE, and by now I don't really care.
Yeah, it's only 3 days away.
It's only 3 days away, but I kind of would have liked USA Today to kind of keep their word. But now I'm whining. Like, this is why I didn't want to bring it up. Thanks, Toshin.
Oh,
I didn't want to talk about this on the show. Now you're making me look like a whiner. Everybody's like, Bobby Black was whining because you didn't get an XNXE early.
Oh, it's probably the ninjas that you've cast out upon us, and you know,
ninjas are flipping awesome. They're not going to do anything to me. They look forward to killing you soon. They look forward to killing you soon, but not me.
I guess I'm gonna have to make a stronger ninja avatar or something. I don't know. So, yeah, I've just been wondering if you heard about all the outages.
Oh yeah, there's outages, from what I understand, the Microsoft Code Monkeys have been working overtime trying to get things straightened out. They've thought that they've gotten things straightened out, and they really haven't. And I don't know. I mean, it seems like it really is tied to people who have NXE, which means that there may be a problem with the fact of the whole Microsoft Kinect program, where maybe those consoles are now being unauthorized.
Right.
After being authorized.
Something like that.
You know, so that may be what it is. And since I'm still running the old dashboard, the old and busted, I did get logged off like once or twice, like Friday night, but nothing really superior. I mean, I log in and I still see 20 people out of 100 playing online just fine. So
right.
I think it has to do with, you know, some consoles are just not getting authorized to have access to the NXE. And then getting reauthorized, and it's something like that.
So do you think this is going to be like an overload for like the week? Because remember last season when we're going into Christmas now that everybody's who's getting like a cheaper Xbox and stuff, mm-hmm. Are we going to see even more downtime because of all
this? I mean, and honestly, as a system administrator myself, I can tell you that there is really no way to prepare for millions of people hammering your servers and without getting millions of people to hammer your servers. Hopefully they did learn from last year and all the outages then, but you know, especially when you're pulling a new update like this and putting new database systems online and all this stuff, because there's a lot of stuff you can do in the NXE that you couldn't do before. One of which that I'm really looking forward to is the fact that you can remove games from your gamer card if they have zero gamer points.
Right.
I really like that. You know, and that took a that takes a rewrite of kind of the database engine and how things work with that. So, you know, they're trying to introduce new systems online, and maybe the new systems aren't as battle-tested as the old systems. And that could be it. And then, you know, it just could be the preview program is kind of having brownouts, and that's causing some people in the preview program to not connect. And that's what you get for getting in and not me.
I didn't say I was part of the downages. I just said I heard reports of the downages. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to say anything else other than that.
So anything else on your mind? We do have other people trying to call in.
Yeah, no. I thought I'd just, invite you to some X-Ceny party whenever it's convenient, and the ninjas don't kill me if I get away.
All right.
That kind of thing.
Yep. Okay.
That's it.
Thanks so much.
All right. Yep, thanks.
So we do have another call here on that is coming in. People are calling all about here. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hello, Bobby. This is Jason.
Jason, what is on your mind?
You have me second guessing as to whether I think I want to go pick up Mirror's Edge or not. Or not specifically you, since it wasn't your review, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I played through the demo. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a lick of... I, of course, you know, stumbled here or there and failed at certain bits, but mm-hmm. I tried it again and went just fine. The only part... When you were talking about the review, the part that kind of hung up in my mind was that on the demo itself, when you first... In the actual game, not the training run, mm-hmm. The actual game portion of the demo, when you go into the building for the first time... it wasn't immediately obvious to me. I kind of understood that I had to climb on top of all of the boxes that were stacked. Mm-hmm. But after that, I just kind of got lost, and I was running in and out of the building, looking around, trying to figure out what I missed, mm-hmm. and I was really confused.
Yeah.
As soon as I started to see the red handle lining as well as the red vent, it kind of made sense. Oh, you have to do the jump off, turn around, jump on, grab up, climb up, and move on. It was confusing, but it wasn't so much frustrating. And if that's something that I have to look forward to into the game, it's a puzzle game, and that's mm-hmm. the interesting part of the game is the fact that Assassin's Creed had parkour, jumping on the log bamboo extensions, whatever they were. I barely played it. it's this game. What really attracted me was that this game seemed to be, at least from, you know, I don't do it, I watch YouTube. I'm not exactly fit enough to do free running anything along those lines. What really attracted me was that it really took core elements of everything and made the game all about it, with an interesting futuristic Big Brother, so on and so forth, political story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've only played the demo. I don't have the game. I'm still trying to decide. But that's not... That's puzzle solving. And mm-hmm. it's obviously not the first time that it's ever happened before, that you've ever mm-hmm. had to do it before.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand from my contact, who is the reviewer, he basically said he loved the demo. And it all goes downhill by about level 4, is kind
of
what
out
he
of,
said.
Do you know how many levels are?
9, I think.
The other part, admittedly, that has me kind of probably going to wait until it drops in price a little bit. A friend of mine in New Mexico already got the game and told me that he already beat it within just a couple of launches. He played it a couple times and he's already done with it. Mm-hmm. And that does kind of put me off as well. I've played my fair share of short games, and I think I can pretty much say that I don't really do that anymore. And I'll probably play the game, just not until it comes down in price a little bit.
Yeah, it's
because it is a $60 launch, isn't it?
Right, like it is. I mean, it's EA. Yeah. They're all $60 launches.
Of course.
So, it's up to you. I mean, I couldn't even pass the demo, so that's, I know I'm not buying the game. Because if I can't beat your demo, I don't beat your game. Hi, Mega Man 9, how you doing, you know?
Mega Man 9.
So, you know, I can kind of understand, you know, and maybe try to rent it or something. And see if you like it. And
who rents games anymore?
I do.
Come on. Oh, okay. Well, you play more games than me.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You talk about them.
Right. So. All right. So thanks for your call. There are other people that are trying to call in before we shut off for the night.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye, Bobby.
So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. We are getting dangerously close to the end of the show here, guys. So this may be one of the last times to get in. I think we're going to try to take one more call. ActF says, Bobby is missing out on how great Mega Mind 9 is. No, I'm not. Those friggin' elephants. So let's see. Lines are going off the hook. And so I don't know who we've got on the line here, so I'm going to go ahead and take this one. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, what up, Bobby? It's Pen15.
Pen15. So you got in, man. Four people called, and you got the random things on. So so what's on your mind, man?
I actually want to talk about the topic about Mirror's Edge.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, Mirror's Edge looked cool, but as sort of like, it has that problem of certain game developers get a great concept,
Mm-hmm.
And instead of adding it to an existing winning formula, they just focus on that concept alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, Call of Duty 4 is a great game. Now, imagine Call of Duty 4 with the ability to do all that crazy parkour stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would be amazing. But the problem is that the developer instead thinks it's a better idea to just focus on this one aspect that they think is cool.
I don't think parkour would have fit in Call of Duty 4, though.
Well, I meant in a shooter, an action shooter.
Okay.
That they should have applied it to sort of, or a Battlefield, that makes more sense. Like, imagine if in Battlefield you could just flip out and go all ninja on people and start jumping on walls like crazy.
Because ninjas are flipping awesome and they steal WeSpeak peripherals.
Yes. Have you been hanging out with R or something? He always says flipping awesome all the time.
No, flipping awesome is actually a term from the video podcast Ask a Ninja.
Ah, Ask a Ninja is awesome.
Yeah, and he always says flipping awesome, and he always says, I look forward to killing you soon, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, of course.
That's where I got it from, not Aura.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I think that innovation is great, but I think innovation is best done when already applied to a winning formula.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have done maybe some kind of Battlefield game where you got to do all this cool stuff and iterated and iterated until the mechanics became deep enough for it to work by itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like games built around a technology never work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Portal was kind of built around the Portal technology that they made.
Oh, no, that's true, but mm-hmm. at the same time, that wasn't their only focus. They went, okay, this is awesome, but we need something more, and what they did was create a very, you know, interesting storyline behind it
right.
that was actually very funny. And they
well, apparently some people are saying, you know, Mirror's Edge storyline is actually pretty good, you know, with I mean, it's not funny, but it's apparently some people are saying that the storyline is pretty good.
I mean, you know. If it is, that's great, but that doesn't... Mm-hmm. I played the demo.
Right.
And I basically said to myself, this is an EA game, so I'll stop as soon as something doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I unfortunately have an SD TV,
yeah.
so I couldn't read anything, basically.
Gotcha.
But even then, I still kept playing. I was like, all right, that technically is broken, but I'll keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to a point where it said, press LB to hug the wall and walk across the thing, and I couldn't. It wasn't doing anything.
That wasn't where I stopped. I stopped a little bit after, or I made it through, but there was the one thing later on, it's like, okay, to get up here, you have to hit LB, L1, R1, L1, I was playing the PS3 version, L1, R1, L1 in rapid succession to get up on that ledge.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get that.
Oh, that's actually right after that, that's where I got stuck, which
yeah.
is hold LB to hug the wall, and it just wouldn't work. I kept pushing the button, and absolutely mm-hmm. nothing was happening. And so, you know, I got out, deleted the demo, and I said, well, it's broken.
No, I mean, I did make it past
a million games.
Yeah, I mean, I did make it past there, so I guess I'm better than you in that aspect. But
you said you couldn't do it.
No, I did make it. I made it through the tutorial.
Oh, wow.
It took me like 10 minutes to figure out that they really meant quick, rapid succession and not actually doing timing. But I did actually make it through the tutorial, and it was the game itself that killed me.
Okay. Well, I just found it that it just wasn't working, and it was. I mean, I thought it was boring just looking at it in the first place.
But it's innovative. Shouldn't it get 10 out of 10?
No, innovation doesn't mean that.
Keith Stewart says you're wrong. Keith Stewart called. He said you're wrong.
If Call of Duty 4 didn't have the online thing where everything was amazing with the whole point system, it would still be a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of my point. If Mirror's Edge took out this one mechanic, it would be a very boring game because it mm-hmm. is all about that one mechanic.
Right.
And something like Portal, I think Portal works also because it's a short experience. It doesn't right. give you a chance to really get tired of it. And while Mirror's Edge is short, its mechanics were really fleshed out and made perfect. That's why a lot of mm-hmm. the reviews say, well, I can't wait for part two where they fix everything, which is that's the worst thing that you could have said about your game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So thank you for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right. And also, I finished Midnight Club LA.
Uh-huh.
It took me 60 hours. So if anybody wants to play me, I'm Raging Ninja on Xbox Live.
Excellent. What letter grade would you give it?
I'd buy it. I don't give letter grades. Buy it.
So that's a B for buy it. All right. Thank you very much.
Good night.
So that's it. That's the only call, last calls we're going to take tonight. Coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. We check in with Sacramento just to see what's going on tonight and see if they're going to pick up. This is the part where I sit here and go, are they going to pick up? Are they paying attention? Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. Sorry it took us a little bit. We had to turn off your show or you would have heard yourself, and I think we did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's normal, though.
I know. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've got a little bit of a migraine going into tonight's show, and it hasn't even started yet, so I don't know what to say.
Yeah, usually that happens at the end of the show.
I know. Usually I've had so much of Jamie by the end of the night, I'm like, oh, migraine.
Hey, you know what?
I'm just kidding. So I might have to let the others do the talking a little bit tonight. What's new with you, Bobby?
Nothing much. We've just been talking about the... I am actually hearing an echo of myself. But we've been talking about, should innovative games get higher review scores just because they're innovative?
No.
What? No? What do you guys think of that?
I think innovation is a positive for a game, but it doesn't necessarily make or break a game.
I think half of the thing with innovation is that you have to be sure that the particular new technique or new style of game or whatever, that it actually works, and that, that's a neat idea, but in practice, if it doesn't work, then it's no good.
And also people have to realize that people that review games are only one person, and really it's one person's opinion about a game.
Yeah. And speaking of innovative games, have you guys played Animal Crossing yet?
Oh, yes, that is the pinnacle of innovation right there. It has a city now. Oh, my God, a city.
My husband's supposed to be bringing home my copy tomorrow.
What's actually funny is including the city in the game gives you less reason to play the game, because now all those random events that would happen, throughout the week or throughout the month are now all stuck in that city, so you don't actually have to play it.
Right, right.
Awesome.
Have you guys tried that We Speak thing yet?
No.
No? Yeah, because I don't know anybody that has it, and you can't do random games on Nintendo service, so I haven't hooked up. It's just not doing anything. Maybe we need to trade some 12-digit codes.
You know what I want the Wii Speak to be used in?
What's that?
I want a future Hey You Pikachu, so you can tell him to do stuff. Or maybe like a Nintendogs for Wii, so you can talk to your dog.
But seriously, they really didn't try with this game at all. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I put it in, and it's the exact same game that I've played twice before. And then I went into the city. I'm like, oh, that's different. No, that's the same guy that was in my city. He just moved. I'm very disappointed with it.
I would even argue in some ways it's not as good as what they had before, because I'll tell you flat out honestly, one of the reasons why I bought the original GameCube version of Animal Crossing was the 8-bit Nintendo games that you could unlock and get into the game.
That was awesome.
Like, hey, oh my gosh, I have Clue Land in my house. How awesome is that? And that was like incentive to go visit your friends' villages. When they took all that out to cash in on the virtual console, I don't know. That was actually a big incentive part of the game that's not there now. And in some ways, I would say this game is inferior to the GameCube version, even though it has the online part we've all been wanting for years. Now that it's here, and we obviously had it in the DS version too, it just feels meh.
They really could have they could have cashed in on the whole the same thing that they do for all their games that come out on the Wii, add stupid mini games into it. Mm-hmm. So instead of the console games, they could have added little mini games that are brand new to the actual Animal Crossing game.
In an 8-bit style.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, no, let's just literally port what we did in Wild World. And hey, while you're at it, you can just import your save from Wild World.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Yeah, I didn't even bother with that one.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, which is why Nintendo will not do it.
Yeah. So what's coming up on OLR tonight other than Jamie and Matt talking more than Rob tonight?
Yeah, probably going to have a lot of that tonight. But, of course, we have the latest in gaming news. We also have an interview tonight, which is pretty awesome. We have the creator of a game that's going to be on the Xbox Community Game Service when the NXE launches in just a few days from Snake360. His name's Aaron, and he's joining us on tonight's show. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Snake 360, it's like the old school cell phone game Snake, but it really is like next gen. I mean,
wow.
it's just amazing what he's done with this old school, almost Atari 2600 style game. I'm sorry.
My old Nokia phone had Snake.
Yeah,
I'm not interested until I get Gorilla's 360.
You'd be surprised. There's even a tie-in. Orange Radio, we at one point talked pretty much exclusively about music-based video games. There's actually an interesting tie-in to the music video games world, and we're going to have Aaron tell us more about that tonight.
Excellent. Good to hear it. So that's coming up next. Take some aspirin, Rob. You guys will be on in about 5 minutes.
Dark Sakura gave me some Excedrin. It is helping, so I should be good to go.
Because your headache was this big, right? Your headache was this big, right?
Yes, this big. What a great radio visual. My headache is this big.
If it doesn't work, I've got some head on, so we can put one of the or a well patch for Rob's big head.
I also worry about that. She has a big. She has a gun too.
Do I?
Bye, Bobby.
She doesn't even know. Bye, guys. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can listen to the podcast, or just stay tuned here to All Games Radio. We are done for tonight. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. You can catch us live, interact with the show directly, and call in before Pen 15. Everybody did that. Everybody got achievements for that. So you can leave us a voicemail on any topic, Bobby Blackwell Show. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or we got forums. You can take part in our community there. But the live chatters, they're the ones that actually make this show work the way it does. Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, the Rob D, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Channel Z, Eswat, Funnydale, Kitsune, Loserly, Mako, Maximilian, Octocamo, Seymour Booty, Shadows Liar, Stone Raider, Tiger Claw, Toshin, ActDef, AGN again. He kicked Derek H's ass in Madden. Ake Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Ame Satsuma, Bauer CTU, who beat Mega Man 9. Congrats. Binary 667, Biohaze 20, Bloodshot Robot, Chad 28, Cedar Bria, Dark Tetsuya, De Rocketeer, De Blue Guy, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, Game Guru, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Interlogic, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kazan, Kuroishi, Melted General, Necromoss, Nextil, OSU Fan, Outrage, Pen 15, Punchy, Shadow Next Gen, Sky, SSJ 100, Matt, Sub Z, Sully 907, TDB 30, Tej 116, True, Tyrone Hawk, Visid, VXJSNXV, What Up, Warham, What Up G, Wilcon, and Zappy. Almost did them out of order there. So that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. Don't get a headache. And make your avatar look cool on Wednesday if you can get in. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.